This is the Only in Rugby League podcast where we discuss all things rugby league with me, Callum.
With me, Bobby.
And me, Andy.
And still, the M62 and beyond.
Hello, hello, hello.
Hello, hello.
Eventually.
Well, eventually, third take in that tonight, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And for once, it wasn't me.
Well, one was Andy.
And one was you.
Well, yeah, but I didn't technically do it wrong.
No, you still fumbled it. Yeah.
Do you know what? The good point is on this. Do you know what? A milestone tonight. This is our 125th episode.
Excellent.
That's pretty good going, I think.
Mm. I preferred the first sort of 40 when Bobby wasn't on it.
When we just rang him up for the stats.
Yeah.
And then he cried because he hadn't got a microphone.
Yeah. Them were the days.
Yeah. Rose-tinted glasses, isn't it? What's been happening this week, then?
Peaked. United cruising through to another FA Cup final.
Yeah, I think pretty much tied with them, didn't they?
Yeah. 120 minutes of just playing with their hearts.
And then
battered them in penalties.
Yeah. What a team.
Oh, dear.
Anything else? Oh, that was about it, I think, for the whole weekend, wasn't it, really?
I think so, yeah.
Non-rugby league, obviously.
Yeah, non-rugby league, yeah, probably.
Oh, and Bobby had his pre-wedding shoot.
You ever heard of that before?
I've never, ever heard of that. If anybody doesn't know what it is, it's like they take some photos when you're in a wood or something.
No, you get to choose the place you go.
And you chose the woods?
Yes.
Sounds a bit odd, doesn't it?
Creepy, isn't it?
Some sort of Robinson Crusoe, aren't it?
Well, to be fair, one of the pictures, one of the lads that works here said to me, have you seen him? I said, yeah. He went, Bobby looks like some sort of weirdo in a bush in one of just like staring at her.
That's the look he'd gone for on the pre-wedding shoot.
Yeah.
The weirdo in the bush.
What's the point of this?
Honestly, I don't know. It was just part of the wedding package we bought with the photographer. Right. I actually don't know the reason behind why you get them, but...
Right. Because the reason you gave to me was that it's so the photographer can get used to you.
What his shape?
I was like, would you not just, like, smile?
I have heard that being one of the reasons, but I couldn't tell you exactly why.
Sounds to me like it's like, yeah, just give me some more money.
Yeah.
No, I'm not about getting used to it.
And look, about the location, right? It was either the woods or it was the beach. Mm. And let's be honest, no beach in the UK is like photo worthy. They're all rubbish.
Tide was in.
Exactly.
Oh, there you go. Anyway, can't wait to see the real ones then. What's on tonight, Callum?
Well, I'll be in them. So hang on, I'll be in them. So why weren't I there? He needs to get used to me.
No.
Yeah, that's true, actually. Yeah.
No, you're not the star of this photo.
That's what you think.
Yeah. Yeah. If it's like the pod.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
What? Unprepared?
Let's talk about me. Yeah.
Let's talk about how you've rocked up with a green pen and a bit of paper.
I left my bag at home.
Right.
Unprepared. It's even more unprepared than usual.
Listen, when you have this much rugby league knowledge flowing through you...
You can use a green pen. That's it, yeah.
You know, and it's not green. It's
green. What's on tonight, Callum?
I don't know what that is. What? What is that?
Green.
It's green, yeah.
Is
definitely
it?
Green, yeah. What's on tonight?
We've got the Super League review stats, NRL, only in rugby league, obviously, predictions league, and that will see us out.
Unless we have time for a talk to me about.
Yes.
Okay.
So
keep that up our sleeve.
If Bobby can keep his waffling to a minimum.
We'll have a talk to
me. Like last week.
Yeah.
Then we'll have a talk to me about.
Okay.
So let's get into it.
There's so much to love about rugby league in this part of the world, and more than just the pork rolls at Warrington and the pies at Wigan. There's tradition and history and great grounds and great fans. And then there's the weather. And if you don't like it, well, you just have to put up with it. Tough titties.
Yes, it's time for our Super League review, and it's round 8. And we kick things off at the Totally Wicked Stadium in St Helens, where they took on Hull FC, coming away winners 58 points to nil.
Yeah. That's pretty much it.
That's the end of review. a couple of things I want to pick up on. Saints changes, putting Welsby in the halves instead of fullback and Bennison to fullback.
Yeah.
Did it work really well in the fact that they scored 58 points, or is it just really hard to tell because they were playing, well, pretty much an academy side from Hull, wasn't it, in the main?
Yeah, they had a lot of them, didn't they? Apparently Dodd and Clark had niggles. I imagine Clark did, because I can't see him being joined. He's been pretty good. Dodd's coming to the firing line, hasn't he, the last couple of weeks. I thought he might have just been dropped. But I suppose this week will tell us. But they're in a bit of a lose-lose situation, aren't they? Because if they don't put 50 points on them, they go, well, that's not very good.
Yeah,
that's poor performance. And when they do put pretty much 60 points on them, it's like, well, it was Hull.
Yeah.
Mm. No, you can't take an awful lot away from it, I don't think.
No.
But, you know, they didn't have to do anything special, scored a couple of nice tries. Welsby in the halves, I think, works quite well. Will they do it going forward? No, I don't think so.
As long term, you mean?
Yeah. I actually think that both Lomax and Dodd have been pretty poor this season. Well, not Dodd has. The last two or three weeks, Dodd's been really poor. He had a spell where he was looking like he was getting back to his best. Seems to have regressed. Lomax, I think, is... some of his decision-making, I think, and he's just not looked anywhere near the player that we've seen over the last few years for me.
Yeah. Do you think it has anything to do with him being made captain? Do you think he's got a lot of weight on his shoulders, a lot of people looking at him?
I don't think so, because I think he's been part... He's pretty much been captain. Like, he's obviously been part of that like leadership group, hasn't he, over the last few years. So I don't think it's... And I think he probably expected it, and I don't think he'll do anything different.
No,
I don't think so.
And he's, fair what, enough. 33, 34 now? Mm. So... He's got that. I don't think he's going to change much if you're that age.
He's been vice captain as well, hasn't he, for the last few years to Roby, and
yeah,
you know, Roby hasn't played 80 minutes every week the last couple of years. So
yeah,
I don't think so now.
Do you think that experience for those Hull players will do them good? Because there's two ways of looking at it, isn't there? They're in the firing line. They're conceding 50 points a game. Yeah, I think you. I don't know if it's one of your stats, Bobby, about the amount of points that they've conceded. So I won't say if that's the case. But you said to me, didn't you, that in the last five games, they've conceded a lot of points.
Yeah, they have, yeah.
But if there's two ways of looking at it. Is it great experience for them young players? Or is it crushing?
I've not really thought about it, and it's a really, really good question, isn't it, I think. I think if it was me in that position and I was, 19, 20...
Making your way in the game.
You'd be like, this is brilliant. Like, I know. Obviously they've lost 58-0. Mm. But I think if it was me, I'd be like, oh, I'm playing against St. Helens this week. And
I'm on telly and
you know,
so, yeah.
This week I'm playing against Leeds. And
yeah.
It is... I don't think it would be too crushing, but I can only speak for how I think I would feel. Obviously, you don't want to be going getting pumped 50, 60 nil every week, but if you've only played two or three games, you'd be like, well, I'm playing in Super League.
Yeah. Or you could be on the end of a Conrad Hurrell tackle.
Oh, God, yeah. Who was it that he...
I can't remember it
was.
Absolutely. They put a bomb up, didn't they?
Him.
And he's like, and he met him at the exact time, didn't he, that he caught the bomb.
Yeah.
I thought he'd caved his ribs in, to be honest.
He was down for a good few minutes back play. Yeah.
The only other thing to mention in this game is we if you watched it or you were there, I think the video ref pressed the wrong button at one point, didn't they?
Yeah, we're going to come on to that.
Oh,
yeah.
Sorry.
So let's change that for two tries for Shagger Blake.
yeah, they let them know what they thought, didn't they? That was a
as he's now known.
Yeah, I mean, again, on go back to the, well, you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't. You can't take much away from it because, you know, if I was on the wing for Saints at the weekend, I might have got to try to.
Yeah.
That's how bad they are at the minute. So. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, moving on to... actually, no, I'm going to change that. I was going to go to Catalan, but then it would have been Hull.
He's
got
no
harder,
has he? He's not prepared, is he? Is he?
Well, I was going to go, and then I realised you made fun of me for going from Hull to Hull Kayal the other week.
Let's go to the other side of Hull. So
I'm going to change that because I've just realised I did it again. So we'll go to Wigan and Castleford. Wigan coming away victors again for the second week, running 36 points to 14.
I think Cass were better this week.
They made it closer, didn't they?
The first half.
So that leads me into a question that I've wrote down there. Do Cass have a problem with fitness? Because there's been a few games this year where they've been in the game at half time and then Leeds away, I think it was 0-0 at half time.
Yeah, it was, yeah.
And then they've absolutely crumbled in the second half. And they've done it again. So is it a fitness thing? Is it a mentality? Have they just simply made too many tackles in the first half and they've run out of steam? Is it a mentality of first half versus second? Is it that they get behind 12, 14 points and that's it, they've gone? What do you put it down to?
You would think that a full-time Super League team in this day and age wouldn't be unfit. So I wouldn't think it was that. Maybe you are right in that the fact that they're making too many tackles and they're getting a little bit gassed. I don't think it's that they're unfit.
Strength off the bench, maybe?
Yeah, maybe depth. It is part of the problem as well. But I think a lot of it comes down to mentality. So like you say, if they go two tries behind, that seems to be it for them.
Here we go again.
Yeah. That seems to be it.
I'm not saying so much around the other games you've mentioned there, Andy, like Leeds and you know, the other couple of games, but I think in this instance, I think it's always hard to play the same team back-to-back, whether you're both Wigan or Castleford. I think I suppose it affects both teams, but from a Wigan point of view, when you've put 60 on them the week before, I think you become a bit complacent. You just start to go
a bit blasé,
so you make it look a bit closer than it is, and then at the second half you get the ball, right, come on, get back out there now, and you start to go, right, okay, we'll play now, we'll put some points on.
And they made some changes in game as well, Wigan, didn't they, that you know, they brought Kieran off, although I think he had a leg injury as well, but they made substitutions that you think, well, we can give him a few less minutes this week, and
I don't think they had Field, did they,
but, no,
you know, put French there, not bad, really, is
like
it?
Like
for
liking it,
yeah. But yeah, but it's always a bit hard to play that same team back to back. And I think in this is, I think you saw a perfect example of, well, they were in it and then Wigan just kind of kicked in a bit and then they just dropped off again afterwards.
Interesting one this week, though, because Cass play London. So, in theory, they shouldn't be dropping off in the second half, should they?
No, they shouldn't. They shouldn't, and they should probably be in front, shouldn't
should
they?
Should be the stronger team in the second half.
Oh, yeah, they should be really out of sight by the end of the first half.
Well, interesting. Let's see. But Wigan just roll on, steam on with the points, don't they? There seem to be steamroller in teams at the moment.
Yeah, I feel like they've not really got out of second gear over the last two or three weeks.
Which is a worry for the rest of the league if they do, I think.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Well, moving on to the game I was going to go to, which is Catalans. They beat Hull KR 36 points to 6.
Yeah, I don't think I quite saw that coming.
Bit of a reality check for Hull KR this week, I think.
Yeah, maybe.
I tell you what, I mean, our French correspondent, Sammy, it was critical of us, wasn't he, for not giving Catalans enough praise the other week. And I think this week we're going to put that right, Sammy, aren't we? Because I tell you what, they know how to play some overlaps. The stuff they play when they get the ball out wide is superb.
Yeah.
They've played really good rugby for the last 2-3 years, you know, pretty much since Steve McNamara's come in, to be honest. But, I mean, I think it probably took him a couple of years to get them really going, but they've really, really peaked over the last 3 years or so.
I think for them, I think, you know, I mean, they get a lot of, they seem, to me, Catalan seem to get a lot of tries in the corners. So they seem to like, they really use Morg well coming into the line.
Yep.
And then I think when you've got Morg and you've got Johnston and you've got Davis, I think that they really move the ball quickly. They don't give teams real chance to slide across the defence. And before you know it, they're in. Even if it's a spectacular finish, they've given themselves enough room and enough time to get that ball down in the corner. And the way that they do it, I think they're really, really dangerous. And, you know, I dare say probably the best, you know, the easiest in terms of style, they're the easiest on the eye, I think, sometimes.
Yeah, maybe. And then you top that off with a monster pack. It's a recipe for success, really. And the fact that they haven't really had an awful lot of it over the last 3 years amazes me.
So why do they fall short then? Is it just that they've come up against one team better? You know, Wigan last year, St. Helens, you know, a couple of
22
years ago.
Yeah. That one.
Have they just found...
21,
sorry.
Have they been at whatever stage consistently probably the second best team in the league? Have they just found one too good for things?
Yeah.
The trophies, you know?
You know, they fell short at the final hurdle a couple of times, haven't they?
Yeah.
But even, you know, Challenge Cup success, they haven't had any of that. And it's surprising, really, because I think, like you said, they've probably... Yeah.
They won it once, didn't they?
Yeah.
2018, something like that.
Yeah. 17, 18, whatever it was. But it's a completely different team, wasn't it? But, I think what you said, they've probably been consistently second best and probably just been really unlucky not to have got there.
Yeah. Did you see to finish this game, did you see the Tariq Sims charge down?
Yes.
That smacked him in the face. He didn't charge it down with his hand, did he?
No, he didn't.
Smacked him in the face, and then he sort of like groggily got his way to the ball and like dribbled it over the line. Brilliant try.
Yeah, he did, yeah. It was good to see.
I'm surprised he didn't just collapse at the end of it because it just smacked him full in the face as he charged it down.
Yeah. Sorry, just one more thing on this just before we do move on. Just to sort of lean back to Hull KR. I don't know if you've had a look, but they've got a really tough run of fixtures and it could prove a bit.
Is this Catalans or Hull KR?
Hull KR, right. Sorry. So they've lost to Catalans this week. Yeah. They are at home to Wigan this week. Then they go home to St Helens. And then finally, to end the month, a trip to Warrington. They've played the top four teams in 4 weeks. It's a tough spell for Hull KR.
We said this about St Helens a few weeks ago, didn't we? They had Leeds twice, and then they had Wigan and somebody else.
Catalans.
And it's a similar thing where you say, at the end of this month, we'll know a little bit more actually where they are. Whether they are the second best team in there, though, or the top team in it.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
We'll find out a lot where they are. But it's very... It's a draining month, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a tough month.
It's a draining month, yeah.
Yeah. Right, so moving on from this game, we head over to the capital, and it was London 4, Salford 12.
Yeah. A lot tighter than I thought it was going to be.
Brave effort.
Yeah.
It's a ruddy, bloody brave.
I think they competed really well, competed for 80 minutes and made life difficult for them, didn't they?
Yeah. They did. First try for Salford that brought them level. Callum Watkins like sort of jogged in. Like
he only got
like Brightley made the break, didn't he? Passed it inside to Watkins, who like jogged in like, you know, like you know, like an adult playing in the under-8s, like that. Where he's like, yes, I've done it. Catch me now, kids. He did. That was hilarious.
Yeah, he did. He just sort of looked over. He was like, ooh.
Yeah.
Got a bit of a scare from, I think it was McCarney, wasn't it?
He did. What do you make of the red card, the King red card?
I agree. No, I think it's just a stupid, reckless tackle. He's already held in the tackle. The referee's called held. There is no need to come in and tip the leg.
I don't think he's been called held before he's made the tip.
No, I do. I think the player's stopped, and I think he's come in, he's grabbed his leg, and he's tipped him straight onto his head. I don't see any problem with that at all. I think if the tackle hadn't been completed, I could understand maybe a sin bin in or something like that. But for that for me, tackle's done. There is no need for you to come in and try and tip him on his head. I think it's dangerous. And I think, I have no disagreement with that red card at all.
He hasn't got a ban, though, has he?
No. Which I find daft, again, because of these new rules around the head and the car. I don't know where we're up to with these rules. I don't get it.
So Salford fans there, the Meltdown fans there are saying that the video ref's got it wrong then.
Possibly.
That's their argument, because if the MRP hasn't given him a ban, they're saying that on the field, they've got it wrong.
Yeah.
I thought it could have been yellow.
I can see the argument.
The letter of the law, I think, says it's red.
Yeah.
I don't think he's driven him into the ground.
No.
But he has ended up on his head.
I think for me, even though he's not driven him into the ground on his head, I think it's just more, there's no need to do it. I think there's no reason for him to come in and finish that tackle in the way he did. Mm-hmm. Even if he had just tried to help his players take him to the ground normally, there's no need for him to come in and purposefully tip it.
But what I don't understand in that case then, Callum, if he's got a red card and he's third man in, he's lifted his leg, he's tipped him on his head, and it's a red card.
Yep.
Why is there no ban?
No,
why is the panel then not sort of upheld that decision?
Yeah.
And give him a ban?
I haven't seen the.
I don't think it's a red. I think it's quite a soft red.
Yeah, so do I. But by the letter of the law, it is.
It reminds me of that one early in the season with the Harry Smith one. At Castleford, where they said that the Cas player basically tucked his head under.
Yeah.
That's what that looks like to me.
Okay. Okay. But promising signs for London, though.
Yeah.
It must give them a boost.
Yeah, it must do, because Salford have been playing really, really well and they've put some big scores on a lot of big teams. So,
yeah.
I think to hold them to 12 points is really impressive.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Moving on to Warrington. Warrington 16, the Lee Leopards 14.
Just cannot get a win, can they?
Looking Lee. More and more likely every week, though.
Just can't get over the line, though, can they?
No. This game, I mean, apart from anything else, is dominated by a knock-on or no-knock-on decision. For the
play the ball.
No, I think it was the one where they drove the ball in under the post and he lost it, and then it ended up going wide, and then they went in. There's a definite knock on.
Yeah, it was at the play the ball.
Yeah, it was Ashton, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Sorry, I know it. Yeah.
I'm not quite sure how the referee and that near side touch judge has missed that.
It's clear, isn't it?
Yeah.
And then from that, the very next tackle, they're in. And great try. I mean, after that, it's pretty much try of the season.
There was some really nice tries in this game overall from both teams. They were quite nice to watch.
I think the Lutelli one for Lee, really, that was really nice.
Really give it Charlie and then back on the inside.
I thought that was a really nice try.
Lee were a lot more free-flowing again.
The first one, the Charlie one, they got in the first couple of minutes, that was nice at the short line and got it out wide. It was good. There was some nice tries. The Dufty one was good, where again he hit the lead runner. Yeah. I think it was Fitzgibbon who then managed to turn offload. It was nice to watch.
I'm surprised Derek hasn't had a meltdown after that knock-on and that try, I'll be honest.
I mean, like I say, the referee and that the touch judge... I don't know how they've missed that, because it was quite obvious.
There was a great comment on the, you know, the highlights, the YouTube highlights. I just skimmed through them before we came on, just to recap the games.
Mm.
And one of the comments was, are these referees all make-a-wish kids?
Wow.
Wow.
They don't know Disneyland. Warrington.
I want to be a Super League.
Yeah.
But
do
yeah,
want,
I
do you want to meet Spider-Man? No, I want to meet Ben Thaler.
Yeah. But yeah, I totally agree, Andy. I thought Lee looked a lot better this week. I think it helps that I think you can see some of the Lee first squad that first team squad that played last year that did so well starting to come back in. I think they've Tom Amone has come back the last 2 weeks, I think, now.
Mm.
So I think it's probably a big help having the players you're used to and, you know, being able to rely on your bigger players to come back to allow you to be free-flowing as well.
Mm. And on the flip side of that, Warrington putting more and more trust into Leon Hayes.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he looks like he's doing okay. I don't think... I mean, I haven't watched him every minute he's played, but he's steady. Not done anything. Yeah. I've not seen him doing anything spectacular.
He had a nice little kick for Fitzgibbon.
Yeah, that was the best thing I've seen him do. To be honest.
He had a nice little kick there.
But we're putting a lot of faith into him, and it's working really well for them.
Yeah.
You know, I think it was Lee's last try. I think Hanley got caught the bomb above him.
Mm. Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
and then they got it to McNamara.
Yes,
the McNamara try. I thought, oh, that's nice. And then I saw the replay and saw that Handley got above Hayes. And I thought, oh, it's not that impressive.
Yeah, that's
you
right.
You know, he only had to get a butt. It's easier than getting like above Bobby.
Yeah. They could both work in a chocolate factory.
Very good.
Anyway, moving on to our last game of round 8. And it was Leeds Rhinos 24, the Huddersfield Giants 30.
Yeah. I mean, Leeds, again, you know, 12-point lead, was it, with about 20 to go, 25 to go, and blew it.
18 to go.
18.
12-point, 24-12, 18 to go.
They were two tries up twice in the match because they led 12-2 at half time.
Yeah.
Then they led that with 18 to go, and another game where we've seen Leeds blow a half time lead. They seem to be the sort of complete opposite to what Castleford are, where Andy was saying Castleford seemed to be in it at half time and then let go. Leeds seemed to really go out all first half and then just. Again, in a similar style, just completely slip up.
Yeah.
Who's annoying you more? Leeds or Huddersfield?
Neither.
I'll tell you who's annoying me. Leeds, right?
Because
Prediction League, last week, right? Prediction League, I said Huddersfield by 6, right? And then I goes, no, I'm going to change your mind. I think Leeds will do it this week. Change to Leeds by 8. 24-12 up, I'm feeling pretty smug, let me tell you. And then it ends up, the score I've done, and I'm thinking, nah, I blame Rowan Smith, I blame Kevin Sinfield, I blame Billy Bremner, I blame Mel B, I blame Marco Pierre White, Kaiser Chiefs, Erling Haaland, Chris Moyles, the Brownlees, and Jimmy Savile. I blame them all. Ridiculous.
Brilliant.
Well, you know, called you a sheep.
You did. You did. Yeah, you lulled me into it, didn't you?
No, I told you to change back.
Whatever. Absolutely ridiculous.
I think I said Huddersfield, if it makes you feel better.
Well, I said Huddersfield as well.
Well, actually, doesn't make me feel any better. No, obviously not. But what if... It's 6 points would have been a lot more if Jake Connor would have brought his kicking boots.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's not the greatest goal kicker, is he?
And the last try was a knock on. The Garma gets his hand to it, puts it into Leeds, and then it bounces back, and then he goes, even he'd give up, and then they just ran off.
That's a try.
Incredible. Absolutely incredible. Honestly, I don't think I've ever been... Oh, and I blame Eddie and Reese and the Lot Pod as well. I blame them all. I blame them all. Absolutely all of them.
Oh, dear. Yeah.
But Huddersfield playing really well.
Adam Swift played, I thought, was brilliant.
I think there's a great game in prospect this week. Huddersfield going to Saints.
Yeah. Mm. I think that'll be a close affair.
I really do. I think that'll be a really, really good game.
Yeah. No, I agree. It's another test for Huddersfield. And do you know what? Probably a test for Saints as well, the way absolutely. That they've been playing. So
I think it's a real 50-50 game now.
I think so as well.
The way the teams are playing.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, that pretty much wraps up the Super League Round 8.
Excellent.
It's Bobby's Stats of the Week.
Yes, Stats of the Week time.
Hello.
You done them this week, yeah?
Yeah, I got 5.
Oh, very good. Yeah. You could be bothered 5. This week then, yeah.
Say again?
You could be bothered this week.
Yeah, I could, yeah.
He made the pod headline last week, didn't he? Poor Stats. A lie-in. Everything for him this
everything.
Week.
Everything.
Let's see what he's got this week.
Stat number one. Sticking with the game we just finished on, that was actually Huddersfield's first win at Headingley since 2018. They've ended a 6-year dry spell at the ground. They did manage an impressive comeback in 2022 to draw 20-20, but that is their first win in 6 years.
Can't help thinking that, because he comes up one of them every week, doesn't he? Right. I can't help thinking they'd be better if it was like the first win since like 1993 or something.
They're always like 2018.
Yeah.
6 years is a long time to go.
Just saying.
We'll see. Go on.
Okay. Stat number two. Lee currently hold the most points conceded for an entire league season. They conceded 1,210 points back in 2005, I think it was. However, after just 8 rounds, they'd conceded 291 points. Hull FC in 2024 have conceded 19 points more. They conceded 310 points after the same number of games.
Wow. Can't help thinking it's going to get better for them as they get players back, though, in terms of the amount per game. Not saying the results will get a lot better, but...
It has to, surely.
I would think so.
It can't get much worse,
you'd think
can it?
Like, they're knocking it down to 30, aren't they, instead of 15.
It can't get much worse.
Stat number three, we're heading to the NRL now. And Jesse Bromwich has become the first prop in NRL history to play 300 games at starting prop, which is a tremendous achievement. Yeah. Stat number four is, for the first time since 2014, so 10 years ago, the Storm have gone the first 7 rounds of the NRL without winning a game by more than 10 points.
Right.
Their highest win this season so far is 8.
Good mentality, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
And the final one. I quite like this one. The Dolphins managed to score 8 tries in 25 minutes against the Eels on the weekend.
Wow.
8 tries in 25 minutes. Their previous record was 7 for an entire 80 minutes.
Right.
So they'd only ever scored 7 tries in an entire game.
Doing well, aren't they?
Yeah, really well.
Fins up.
Yeah. He's switching.
Yeah, definitely. I'm a Dolphins fan now. Yeah. Titans have gone. Yeah. Titans have gone. Terrible, aren't they?
And that's it.
Excellent. Thank you, Bubbles.
No worries.
You call that a knife? This is a knife.
That's not a knife, that's a spoon.
Yes, NRL time. I'll just quickly run through the scores once again. So we had the Roosters 12, Storm 18, the Dragons 30, Warriors 12, the Eels 16, the Dolphins 44, including those 8 tries in 25 minutes.
Mm. Yeah, they romped home, didn't they?
They were out of it at half-time. Well, no, they weren't, actually. It was only 10-4 at half-time.
I was going to say, weren't the Eels winning at half-time?
Yeah, it was like 8-4 or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Panthers 22, the Tigers 6, the Titans 30, the Seagulls 34, the Broncos 34, the Raiders 10, the Bulldogs 36, the Knights 12, and the Sharks 42, Cowboys 6. And Callum, you'll be happy to know the Bunnies had a bye this week, so they got 2 points.
Yeah, I'm a Bunnies fan this week.
They drew level with the Titans.
2 points, baby!
That's the only 2 points the Titans have got all year. That
yeah,
bye.
Yeah, they had the bye. That's the only 2 points they've got.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well,
this week
there's been a lot of high scoring points. More than ever, really.
Yeah, there has.
Than I've ever noticed.
Yeah.
Again, at least 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 games that a team scored 30 plus points.
Yeah,
yeah, and your little Titans got hammered off the Premiership winners, the Sea Eagles this week.
Very good.
Yes. This week we are talking about the rumours around Paul Rowley, and supposedly he has had an offer from Hull FC to become their new head coach. Obviously, what are your thoughts around Paul Rowley potentially leaving the Red Devils?
Well, a bit of background into it is that Hull Daily Mail have been reporting that there's a big fee involved, around about 150 grand.
Yeah.
Rowley's contract goes to the end of 2025. He signed a new 3-year contract at the start of 2023. Mm. And Richie Myler's first priority is to find a new head coach. And they've identified Rowley as the man to take them into a new era.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's... I mean, it's a good move for him. It's a weird one, because if you look at the two teams now, you don't say that Hull are above Salford, but in terms of a club aspect, it's a better move for him.
Oh,
yeah, I think so.
I mean, Salford fans are all over the internet saying it like it's a backwards move, it's a sidewards move. Why would he leave Salford to go to Hull? It's a sidewards move. It's not a sidewards move, is it?
No.
Not in my opinion.
No, I don't think so.
I mean, if you look at what Salford have done, let's just say over the last couple of years, let's say. Yeah, the Rowley's done, he's worked miracles with them over the last couple. Let's, you know, under no illusions, he's taken them within a whisker of the grand final, you know, things like that. He's had a, you know, and that's hamstrung, if you like, by, you know, they've sold internationals, former Man of Steel has gone.
Yeah.
He's had to live with the club asking the fans to raise money.
Mm.
They've lost season ticket holders, different things, and also this season they've also lost Cio and Burgess as well. Don't forget,
yeah.
They've lost both wingers from last year. Mm. So from Rowley, he's like, well, actually, how long can I keep doing this here at Salford?
Yeah.
Yeah, because he's totally transformed Salford and probably that culture within the club. And how long have we been stating that Hull FC need a culture change? Yeah. So why not probably get the best man in Super League who's already transformed one team to transform another? I mean, it makes sense in terms of a Hull point of view as well.
I think one of the things as well is that we talked in the review about Hull and the number of academy players that they had.
Mm.
They have got one of the best academies in the country. And you think if he could bring those players through, he can't do that at Salford.
Mm. No, you can't. You can't do that at Salford, unfortunately. I think it's a big move for him, and I think it would be a good one. He's a great coach, and not only would he, Bobby said, talk about changing the culture, which I think he would, he'd also bring an attractive brand of footy as well.
Yeah.
Which I think everybody enjoys watching, and he could be the man for them. It's just whether he wants to start all over again.
Mm. Mm.
But as Andy said, how long can you keep doing what you've done at Salford?
It is an interesting one, though. There's a current poll at the minute from our... I've just retweeted it now on our Twitter. Our friends, the Tryline, have been doing probably nearly 600 votes on it. Would you, if you were Paul Rowley, what would you do? Would you go to Hull or stay at Salford? 600 votes, what do you think the percentage is? What do you think the results are?
65% in favour of going to Hull.
You're pretty much right, 64-36,
yeah.
But staying at Salford.
Wow.
All right, wow.
Two to one people are saying stay at Salford.
You have
Salford
to look at the bigger...
Salford fans have been out in force on that poll, haven't they?
You have to look at the bigger picture for that, though, don't you? Yes, at the moment, it's a backwards move.
Yeah.
But... long term, for me, Hull are way bigger than
sleeping
Salford.
Giant.
Yeah,
absolute sleeping
but
giant.
But at the minute, they're in that much of a mess. It's taking one step back to go five forward.
I think so. And as a coach, mm-hmm. What a challenge!
You know, how much further can he take Salford?
He can't.
Yeah,
he can't. I mean, let's be honest. At the start of the season, everybody in rugby league was predicting Salford to finish somewhere between 10th and 12th.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anywhere. I didn't see anybody anywhere that said, especially after the pre-season results, losing the players they've lost, losing Akers, losing Croft, losing Burgess, losing Sio. Everybody said 10th to 12th. The fact that he's got them where they are, and they're a short dropout away, let's say, from winning at least six out of eight. Do you know what I mean? It's true, though. Yeah. They've won five out of eight. They've had a short dropout and a poor second half, a poor performance at Cass. They could have been seven out of eight. They could have been top of the league.
Yeah.
So, if I'm Paul Rowley, I'm thinking, what a challenge.
Mm.
The only thing I would say is, they need to give him 5 years.
Yeah.
That's what I would be saying. I'd be saying, if I was Hull, I'd be saying, we're going to give you 5 years to turn this around because we're trusting you to do it. But we also know, we're also realistic in saying, we've got players on long-term contracts. We've not got a great, we're not in a great position at the minute, but we think you are the man to turn this around.
Yeah.
You are Erik ten Hag. No, hang on a minute, sorry. You are somebody else.
is there, just sort of with Paul Rowley, and again, no sort of like disrespect to Hull and him turning them down, but is there any or many Super League clubs that you'd say that he wouldn't go to? So, I mean, I'm not saying this is even a rumour at all, but I mean, I think...
Start one.
I think, well, all I'm saying is if he said no to Hull, would he maybe take, say, the Leeds job if Rowan Smith was supposed to go?
If Rowan Smith was to go,
yeah,
or Leeds had come and say, look, we're going to get rid of him at the end of the season, or we're not renewing his contract, or whatever it may be, we want you to take over from next season, absolutely he'd take that.
So you, yeah, okay. So, but is there any, yeah, okay.
Particularly having worked with the likes of Akers and Croft previously.
Yeah, I was going to say,
There's three jobs, I think, in Super League that any coach would find it very, 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 very hard to say no to, and that's Leeds, St. Helens and Wigan.
Yeah.
I think if any coach is offered those three clubs, they're saying yeah, aren't they?
I think so as well.
And only one of those three currently is
in dangerous
territory.
But that's what are you saying, would he go to Leeds? Yeah, of course he'd go to Leeds.
But
yeah.
it doesn't. But that doesn't exist, whereas the whole one does.
Yeah.
So from his point of view...
Yeah, but does it exist?
Yeah.
Well...
Does he hold out hoping for it?
Does it kickstart Leeds into action?
Mm.
Or does it never happen? He turns down Hull and then Leeds part with Rowan Smith, but they don't want Paul Rowley.
Mm.
And then he's at Salford and there's no change.
It's a tough one.
But usually you find these things that he'll go to Hull, accept that, and then Leeds will sack Rowan Smith and he'll go like, oh, I could have gone there. That's what usually happens.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because sometimes these sackings are strategically manoeuvred in terms of what's happening news-wise, if that makes sense.
Yeah,
it's like when a government buries a story under something else that's happened.
So when Hull sacked Tony Smith a couple of weeks ago, nothing was happening.
Yeah.
Now Paul Rowley's maybe considering going. Yeah. Leeds might be thinking, all right. Well, we want you, we'll get rid of our coach.
Yeah,
it could
be. Yeah. So I think, if I were him, with what's on the table now, Leeds doesn't exist. Does he hold out for that? And there's no guarantee that he gets offered it. Does he stay or does he go to Hull?
I don't think he would hold out for it unless Leeds were saying, we're not renewing his contract, we want you next season.
Which is where agents come into play and everything, doesn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, listen, we've had this offer, what's the situation?
Yeah.
You know, there's a...
You can't hold out if there's no word.
There's a phone call to Gary Hetherington there, isn't there?
Exactly, but you can't turn down Hull... If there's nothing coming from the Leeds end, you can't take that risk.
You can't.
And there's a phone call the other way as well from Gary Hetherington to say, whoa, hang on a minute.
Yeah.
Listen, this is, you know,
this is where we are. So, but we'll wait and see. Pure speculation, of course, but...
Interesting.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
Yeah, it could be. Could be. Anyway, that was Talk To Me About... What you talking about? Right, it's time to move on to everybody's favourite, Only In Rugby League. So I will hand over to Andy.
Still no jingle.
What's your point? You do one.
He just shrugged his shoulders then, but you can't see that on the pod, can you?
No, you can't.
You do one.
I think Bobby should do it.
Right, there you go.
Okay. Right, let's start off and we'll say thank you this week to, amongst others that have sent stuff in, Erin, Dean, who also put a nice tweet on last week to say that we were the best rugby league podcast around. And if you say that, you're going to get a mention, aren't you?
Yeah, of course, yeah.
So thanks, Dean.
Yeah, nice one.
Ian, Carsten and Craig Tinker. So, thank you very much for all your submissions, amongst others.
The real Craig Tinker.
Out of Coronation Street.
Yeah.
I think he just goes by that name.
Fair enough.
I think his real name's Jack or something, but he goes under the name Craig Tinker.
Fair enough.
If you're going to pick a character, you're going to pick a better one than that, aren't you? Nick Tilsley. Right. Okay, let's start off with our very own favourite penguin. So, we're going to go to Bri first. Who, you know, he's been laughing at people and he's sending us stuff in about people putting like, double fixtures.
Yeah.
Such a team playing twice. Yeah. They're going to be busy on this day.
Yeah, yeah.
Bryce done it himself.
Oh, no.
And on his video printer, which is a brilliant bit of stuff, the brilliant bit of work that he does. But Lock Lane on Saturday, we're away at Hunslet and also at home to West Bowling. So, well done, Bri. Interesting one this week. Derek Beaumont. Let's go to Lee. Derek Beaumont saying that he's gonna do a question and answer on Twitter. Have you seen that? If you want to put your questions to a Super League owner, put them in now.
I have a few, Derek.
Did you see what he had on advertising that video? It was he had the white jacket on.
Oh, yeah,
the white
leopard.
The light leopard jacket with a matching polo.
Right.
It was an interesting attire. Let's go to St. Helens. So, 37 minutes. Try, you started to mention this before, Bobby.
Yeah.
Try, given on screen, all the players walk back to their own half and then they come up on the screen, no try. Someone's pressed the wrong button there, aren't they?
Mm.
Brilliant. Let's go to London Scholars. It's a bit of a sad story. London Scholars, remember them?
Mm.
Beaten 68-8 in their new guise this week away at Brentwood Eels and only turned up with 11 men.
Oh.
11?
Yeah.
All right.
Which is a bit sad, really, isn't it? And look like they're in a worse position than your team for turning up with 11 men, Carlo.
Listen, we're sorted now. We're getting 20 a week now.
Yeah. Surprising what a couple of wins does, isn't it?
Yeah.
Should we go to Castleford? Advertising the fact that Tex Hoy has joined Castleford for the rest of the season. Did you see the picture?
Yeah.
He looked less overjoyed to be at Castleford than Will Dagger did to be at Wakefield last year.
Yeah, he was in his Hull kit, though, to be fair. You would be sad.
Did you see Jamie Foster this week channeling his inner Joey Barton?
No.
Jamie Foster commenting that 25 years he's watched Super League and now they've got women commentators. Can't get used to it. What does everybody else think? So Joey Foster there. Well done. Let's go to Huddersfield Giants advertising their women's game away at Leeds. Yeah.
Mm.
Women's game kicked off at 5:30. Then the next fixture down was the Huddersfield Giants away at Leeds women kicking off at 5:30. And then the next fixture down was Huddersfield Giants away at Leeds women kicking off at 5:30. And the next fixture down on their list was the Huddersfield Giants women away at Leeds kicking off at 5:30.
I think they really wanted us to watch the women's game. Yeah,
four in a row. Let's go to England. We've mentioned this before, but now it's been confirmed. The women's and men's international mid-season friendlies.
Oh, yeah.
Which have been now announced for times, followed by Toulouse and Featherstone, which is going to kick off at 9 p.m.
That is the most only... Honestly, the whole situation is the most only in rugby league thing ever.
It won't be finished until 11 o'clock.
England play France as a curtain raiser to Toulouse and Featherstone, meaning that none of the French players can play for France.
Yeah.
Wow. Who's thought that through?
And Toulouse and Featherstone now finish at 11 o'clock at night.
Oh, God.
It's going to be a long trip back for Featherstone, isn't it?
Yeah. Hull's team sheet last week. I know they've got a few injuries, but they had Jebson at 28, and then followed by Jebson at 28. So they were struggling for players by the look of it. Looking for players.
Wasn't he the fullback? Wasn't his surname like Moy or something?
Oh, there was Mecht Moy, wasn't they? Playing Moy. He was called Mecht Moy or something.
They got rid of Moy.
Was Moy, wasn't it?
Yeah. So we call him Mex Moy, do we? There he is, the fullback Mex Moy. I'm with Shrub. It was like one of them from The Simpsons, wasn't it?
Mex Moy.
Do you think they had the song? Mex Moy, Mex Moy.
To be fair, he did all right.
Yeah, he did.
He looked all right.
Yeah. Mex.
Mex. Just had a big handlebar moustache. Yeah.
Let's go to everyone's favourite. Let's go to the Wigan ticket office.
Hey.
And there's a post this week from a Wigan fan that says, if you've not had an email or a physical season ticket from Wigan Warriors yet, don't forget that we're now in mid-April, please get in touch with them ASAP. I auto-renewed in August, yet somehow they managed to sell my season ticket to someone else. I had to show them the auto-renewal letter and the money being taken out of my bank account.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
That's not all. There's an update on that. They offered me another seat close by, which I know the season ticket holder, and I know they've renewed. I was like, nope, there's the proof I've auto-renewed, and there's the proof of the seat number. You're going to have to move whoever you sold it to.
But I'd do the same. I'd do the, especially if you've had a season ticket.
And you've renewed it.
For like 10 years or whatever, and that's been your seat for however many years. Yeah. You'd be like, no. Get them up and make them move.
They've offered me a
Pushing in.
He's pushing in.
Oh, fine. I'll just sit here next to this utter arsehole.
Brilliant. Let's stay with Wigan and their advertise. They had a massive, big promotion. Big fan zone and everything for the start of the Women's Super League at Robin Park on the 21st of April. Unfortunately, the league started on Friday the 19th. Not already played.
Oh, no.
Hosted by Jenna Brooks and everything.
Oh, no.
Oh, dear.
Hi, mate. What are you doing? I'm here for the launch. Everything's shut. Where is everybody?
Oh, God.
Excellent. What about the spat? What about the spat between Warrington and Lee? So Warrington had videos, didn't they, of Wolfie taking a delivery of a pet jaguar or a cheetah or something.
Oh, yeah.
And he was dragging it around. And then Warrington had said, some jaguars spotted in the area on Friday night or something, wasn't it? And then they said that Lee's Twitter, who are in every week, aren't they? They've actually Wigan's ticket office and Lee's Twitter and Halifax's Twitter, who only came up this week with it's 46-0 at the final hooter, booze ring around the Shea. That's all they come up with this week.
Right.
But Lee's response to that was, Leopards warm up done.
Oh, God.
Not a jaguar or cheetah in sight. But we did spot a few cougars in the crowd checking our boys out. Keep your claws to yourself, ladies. We've got work to do.
Oh, no.
Amazing.
Oh, that's my favourite one.
I like it. Let's go to the RFL. The PDRL season started this weekend.
All right,
if you notice, unfortunately, they left out six games in their advertising of the fixtures.
Six games.
Back to Wigan and a post on the internet. With all the seats absolutely covered in bird crap, saying, "Please, can you clean the seats? They're covered in shite."
That would have been good if you'd have said it right.
Yeah, I know. did you see a discussion on one of the NRL shows this week with Gus and Paul Gallen? They were talking about rule changes and things like this, and they were talking about some of the, what they called the horrendous decisions that were made in the NRL this week, this weekend with the referees. And Gus was claiming that the rule changes now are made by coaches who have influence and social media campaigns. He said it used to take 3 or 4 years to make a rule change. Now they make them over breakfast. And what happens is that a coach with influence will ring somebody at the NRL and say, you can't jump this or you can't shepherd this. He goes, because they haven't got a winger that can jump.
All right.
And he said, and if you don't do that, you can have a social media campaign and 2 weeks later they'll change the rules. Oof. So it was quite an interesting discussion, actually.
Yeah. But he must know as well that there's coaches that do that.
There's something that goes on. Yeah.
Who do you reckon it is? Who would your money be on?
Craig Bellamy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He'd be.
Or Wayne Bennett.
No, I don't think he would do that.
Bellamy, definitely.
But I reckon Bellamy.
Hasler,
100%.
Oh,
Hasler.
Yeah.
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 I I can't see Robinson doing it.
He might do.
Do you think?
He's become a bit of a whinge bag.
Maybe then. Definitely Bellamy and definitely Hasler.
Yeah. I can see them two doing it.
Ricky Stewart.
Ricky Stewart.
Yeah.
Ricky Stewart.
Yeah. 1,000,000% the guy is on about. Because they talk about how he like... How the media bum him and stuff, don't they?
Yeah.
Like, they talk about how he's got like
friends
in the media and stuff.
Yeah.
Ricky Stewart, 100%, is the man.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. What's becoming a regular feature on this is, do you remember last week we talked about a friend of ours, Brendan?
Yeah.
And I can't remember, what did he say last week?
About John Bennison.
John Bennison, yeah, Franno Bennison. Yeah. Well, in another episode of What Brendan Said... Brendan went to an 80th birthday party of a fellow St. Helens fan this week. And said to the guy whose birthday it was, "Happy birthday," etc. "So when you die, are you thinking about getting your name read out on the tannoy at..." I don't know, I've not really thought about it.
Maybe you should start.
Yeah.
Could be next.
Oh, dear. Excellent.
Oh, God.
So that's that one. Great news from Warrington this week. Really, really exciting news. George Williams has taken the lead in the energy quiz.
Oh, that, I hate that with an absolute passion.
I haven't.
He's got four right. And he's taken the lead over Luke Thompson, Cade Cust, who got three, and Ashton Golding, who's just wasting energy. He only got two right. He seriously needs to look at his bills, doesn't he, Ashton Golding?
Yeah. You can have too much money.
Yeah.
You know?
Let's go over to John Wells. John Wells claiming that, controversially claiming that the senior twins clearly share the same genes.
That's a bold statement.
After Lewis Senior ran the length of the field in a similar vein to Innes Senior, and John Wells pointed out that they must share the same genes. Mm-hmm. I always say jeans, I don't mean a pair of pants, like, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Just, you know. With a G.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just grew up in the same house and everything.
Last couple this week. We're back to Bri, six again. Now, on Bri's podcast, excellent Women's Rugby League podcast this week, Bri did a couple of weeks ago, this one is, he interviewed Danica Prim.
Yes.
Okay.
And said that he interviewed Danica Prim and said that if Danica Prim won the Borough Ball Strictly Come Dancing...
Right.
He would interview her again in a dress and high heels. Guess who won the... Guess who won? Guess who won the Rob Burrow Strictly Ball?
Oh.
You guessed it. Danica Prim.
Come on!
So...
Of all the things she's won in her career, that might be my favourite. Yeah.
I'm going to second that.
Come on, Bri.
I can't help thinking I should have been left that for last now. But the very last one this week, we're going over to Oldham. The last one.
Do we have to? Yeah, we
said nobody ever. We're going to Oldham. And do you remember the chairman there, Bill Quinn?
Yeah.
He put that poem out. Do you remember in the Challenge Cup? I can't remember if it was against, but it was... It was a rally cry against Swinton, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And it came tumbling down.
Yeah.
Well, Bill's put another poem out this week.
Yeah.
But it's not as good this one. So the last one this week is Oldham are doing a celebration dinner, and Bill's company, Total Control Demolition, has bought 100 tickets. The price of the tickets is £48. And because they've bought 100 tickets, they've been able to subsidise the dinner to £35.
Okay.
So they put it down. To which Bill does a video and on the video says, come on, get yourself down. We might be skint, but the night's going to be mint. And if you want to go to Oldham's at dinner, you can save £13 and it's going to be mint.
Wow.
Help him out, the skint.
Exactly. Yeah.
I actually thought before, I thought, oh, there's not much happened this week. It's going to be a boring week this week.
It's not exactly Keats, is it?
No. That was brilliant.
And that was only in rugby league for this week.
Brilliant. Absolutely amazing. Brilliant.
Oh, can't wait to see Brian this dress.
The only Rugby League podcast predictions league, six again.
Yes, the predictions league is here, which means we're obviously joined by Bri from Six Again. Bri, are you there?
Newt, Newt, gentlemen. How are we?
Newt, Newt, Bri.
Newt, Newt.
Very good.
How are you feeling, Bri?
Taller than I have been the last few days. Yeah, a little bit taller.
Feel like a woman?
In these heels, yes. No, do you know when I was a kid, I used to get football boots and I used to wear them to bed? Yeah, I'm currently going through that stage.
We had blankets.
No, I used to wear my new football boots to bed, brand new ones to wear them in. Yeah, I'm currently going through that stage with high heels. We'll leave it there.
Strictly a comfort thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Strictly. I got it. Nice.
How are we, boys?
Yes, we good, thanks, Bri. We've had a giggle tonight, I must admit. So, yeah. It's good. Right, do you want to give us an update, Bri?
There was three major talking points about prediction league last week. First one was, for the fourth time this season, we've had one team get two spot-ons in a week. This week was St. Helens. They got two spot-ons, the only two spot-ons of the week, and they are now second in the league due to that. The second point, which you've all obviously already mentioned, is on spot-ons, obviously. The best way of putting it, the change of heart, shall we say,
which was
one of the best things I've ever seen in my life, because... I was screaming for Jake Connor to miss a kick, which was the best thing I've ever done.
Yeah, yeah. That didn't take much either, did it? Yeah.
So. No. I was sat there going, I've got Leeds to win. I don't care. Don't care. Just don't care. Just miss the kick. That's all that matters now. And the third one is, in the last 2 weeks, one player has got less points than what 15 teams got last week alone. And to just clarify that, it all started by a song. So it'll finish with a song. I'm the reason I'm now eighth in the league this season. So yeah, Hull KR went up five last week. They're now in third. I went down five. Everyone else went up one or two or stayed with you. So Bobby, Callum, you're now ninth. You went down two, but you're only a 2 points behind third. I'm seventh. I'm on the same point as Callum. Bobby, you're sixth, a point above. On the same point as Andy, who's in fifth. I'd say St. Helens have gone second. They're on 170, and the Insiders are still top on 173.
Okie dokie.
This week we have Roy for Castleford, Victoria for Catalan, Nathaniel for Huddersfield, Outlawed for Hull FC, Tony for Hull KR, Eddie for Leeds. Congratulations to Eddie and his wife, who've just had another new kid.
Congratulations, Eddie.
We've got Forbidden Rugby League for Lee. We've got Alex for London. We've got Phil for Salford. We've got Steve for St. Helens. We've got Noxie for Warrington. And we've got Johnny Ashley for Wigan. And this week, boys, I've gone continental for the Insiders. We've got King Cumber Colts forward and friend of the pod, Paulie Bolger.
Oh, very good.
Excellent. Is he doing all right, Bri?
Yeah, well, you know, he's that good. He plays twice in a day. yeah, he's doing great. Him and his other half are loving life over in Australia. Speak to them once a week. And yeah, he's doing okay. He's enjoying it. And he's just getting his head down and trying to do the best he can.
Excellent. Excellent. Good luck, Paulie.
I'll be ready then, boys.
Yeah.
So first game this week is on Thursday. It's at 8 o'clock. It's on Sky Sports Action. It's St. Helens v Huddersfield.
We said before it could go either way, and I still think that. I'm going to go Saints by 8. No.
I'm going to go Saints by 6.
And I'll go Saints by 10.
Are you sure? Because I don't want you blaming, like, Johnny Vegas and Michael Smith next week.
Bernie Clifton, everybody, yeah.
And I've gone Saints by 8 as well. Callum, we are now 2 of 4 who've gone Saints by 8, alongside Hull, Kyard and Salford. 3 have gone for Huddersfield. One's gone Huddersfield by 4, which is Catalan. One's gone Huddersfield by 8, which is Lee. And Huddersfield themselves have gone Huddersfield by 7.
You don't.
Next up, on Friday night, it's on Sky Sports Mix and Super League Plus. It's Castleford v Salford.
London?
Castleford v London. Yeah.
Just write that down for next week.
Yeah.
The heels have cut the blood to his brain off. Castle London. Again, two teams that are desperate for a win, but I just don't see London getting it this year. So I'll stick with Castleford. And I'm going to go Castleford by 16.
I'm going to go cast by 18.
I'll go cast 20 then.
And I've gone cast by 14. I'm 1 of 3. You've gone cast by 14 along with Leeds and Salford. We have 2 London by 4s. One's Hull FC and 1 is Paulie Bolger because he hates Castleford. And we've got a London by 6 by Catalan. And Alex, a London fan, has gone London by 2.
It's been the most London predictions we've had all season.
Yeah. I think it'll be the second closest chance they've got of having a win.
Next up, boys. It's on Friday. It's at 8 o'clock. It's on Sky Sports Action. Hull KR v Wigan.
You'd think it'd be a tough one, wouldn't you, this? Mm. I just think that Wigan are looking so strong at the minute. I know Old Carr want to bounce back after the debacle in the south of France last week, but I think Wigan will be too strong. So I'm going to go Wigan by 12.
I'm going to go Wigan by 14.
I'm going to go Wigan by 8, just because Old Carr are at home.
And I've also gone Wigan by 14, Callum. And we're joined by London, who've gone Wigan by 14. The 3 who've gone Wigan by 10, who are Catalan, Hull FC and Leeds. And there's only a glimmer of hope by one person for Hull KR. And they've gone a draw. And that is Tony for Hull KR.
A draw,
brave.
Although she does say that the KR will win by goal in Golden Point.
That's brave call. That brave. Is a brave call.
It's a Jordan call, that, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a Jordan call.
No, his is just stupid.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
There's a difference. There's a difference.
Fine line between genius and stupidity, yeah.
Anyway.
Next up on Friday, it's at 8 o'clock. It's on Sky Sports Arena and Super League Plus. It's Lee v Catalan.
Another tough one, I think. You know, I know Catalan have been playing well. Lee have been playing better. They just can't seem to get over for that second win. I think it'll be much the same this week. I'm going to go Catalan by 10,
and I'm going to go. I'll go Catalan by 12 then.
Mm.
Lee are getting closer, aren't they? But I'll go Catalan's 14.
Don't be a sheep.
No, I'm not changing my idea. I was so tempted to go Lee in this game because I think they're almost there, but I think after the praise we give Catalan earlier in the pod and the way that they're playing, I think.
Go on, Lee.
No.
Well, I'll sort that out for you. With no Mach Lordem and no McMeekin, I've gone Lee by 8.
Okay.
I'm one of only two who've gone for Lee. The other one, being our Lee fan, who's gone Lee by 2.
Okie doke.
Next up, on Saturday at 3 o'clock, it's on Sky Sports Arena and Super League Plus, it's Salford v Warrington.
Again, some tough fixtures this week. I think Warrington are playing really well and they're playing really attractive rugby. And I'm going to go, for that reason, I'm going to go Warrington by 10.
Yeah, I'll go Warrington 16.
I will go Warrington 8.
And Callum, for the third time today, I've gone Warrington by 8.
You just wait. You purposely wait until I say my score. You need to start texting me your scores.
You wouldn't have been so bothered 2 weeks ago when I was tough. Anyway, we're now 2 of 5 who've gone Warrington by 8 alongside Hull FC, Hull KR and Salford. We do have a Salford. It's Salford by 2 from Leeds. And we've got Noxy on this week. Noxy's normally very positive. Noxy's gone for the draw.
Another draw. What's this draw like with everybody?
Wow.
Okie dokie.
And then lastly, boys, on Sunday at 3 o'clock, it's on Sky Sports Action and Super League Plus, Hull FC v Leeds. And I'll tell you what, I'll go first. I've gone Leeds by 22.
Go on, do it.
See, tough one. Tough one, this, because Hull will have a new coach in place. They'll have everything, won't they? This is a proper turd fest, isn't it, this game? No, it is, isn't it? Let's be honest. This is an awful game. I'm going to go Leeds. I'll go Leeds by 12. Because I just don't think that they're capable of putting that much of a gap in.
I'm going to go Leeds by 22. I'll go 18. Leeds 18.
Yeah, I think Leeds are capable of playing attractive rugby. I don't see anything from Hull, so I'm going to go Leeds by 26.
We've got two. We've gone Leeds by 24. They are London and Leeds themselves. We've got two for Hull FC. One is Hull FC. You've gone Hull FC by 4. And one is Paulie Bolger, who's gone Hull FC by 14.
Okay. Paul has lost a bit of touch with Super League, hasn't he, since he's been in Australia?
He hasn't got enough factor on, has he?
He hasn't got Super League Plus.
But that's it, boys. So I'm off to go and practice my makeup.
Excellent. You do that. Well done, Bri. Thank you very much.
Oh, so excited for that. Right, well, that just about wraps up the episode. If you've stayed with us all this time, then thank you very much. Thanks again to Brian for doing the Predictions League, and thanks to everybody participating in the Predictions League. If you are going to any games this week, then stay safe and enjoy. But from all of us here at the Only in Rugby League podcast for this week, it's goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bye.